first heard we were going to be studying Sesame Street, I had a question about where Pastor Paul went to seminary, because I don't remember Sesame Street being a part of the Old Testament. I also had some questions about, do we like Sesame Street? Is Sesame Street still exciting? I mean, I get it. It was fun way back when. But today, is it still cool? Do the kids still like Elmo? Well, I have to apologize to Pastor Paul, because as always, he is a visionary and a prophet, and he knows that Sesame Street is still just as relevant today as it was 20 years ago. And here's how I know. Julia is a new character, and I didn't really know very much about Julia. So when I found out that I would be preaching about her, I did a deep dive back into Sesame Street. And at my house for the last week and a half, Sesame Street has been on almost 24/7. As it turns out, my six-month-old loves Sesame Street, loves it. In fact, last weekend, I was working at the golf tournament all day, and Nathaniel is going through a phase that my husband likes to call the depths of hell, which is when mom isn't home, Nathaniel is not a happy camper. I mean, he has himself a little bit of a meltdown. So apparently I was at the golf tournament. Paul could not get him to take a nap. He's screaming his head off. Paul's texting me. I don't know what to do. He's been crying for an hour. What do I do? And I said, I don't know, try to distract him somehow. So I get home to a very happy baby, and I find out Paul put on Sesame Street. He put on YouTube, you can get an hour and a half of Elmo singing nonstop. And he just played it at our house. And Nathaniel just smiled, giggled, he loved it. I mean, Paul and I are really sick of Elmo, but if you want Elmo playing nonstop, you come over to our house because it's keeping the baby happy. So clearly, Pastor Paul, you know what is best for the people. And the people love Sesame Street. So this morning, as we're talking about this wonderful neighborhood, we're going to be talking about Julia. And Julia is a new character, a sweet little redhead, and she began life as a character in a digital storybook, a character on their website. And it was part of this bigger initiative that Sesame Street was doing to bring awareness to autism. And Julia was such a hit that they thought, this little girl has to come to the neighborhood. And so she became a part of the show. But the thing that's great about Julia is she's not simply the character with autism. Julia likes to paint. She likes to sing. Her best friend is a little stuffed rabbit named Fluffster. And she is just as well-rounded of a character as Grover or Big Bird or Bert and Ernie. They really built a whole personality into who Julia is. And so when Julia was introduced to the show, when she was on her first episode, her friends, Elmo and Abby Cadabby, introduced her, took her around the neighborhood and introduced her to everyone. And they explained that Julia does things in a Julia kind of way. They helped bridge that gap that Julia couldn't communicate on her own to help explain who she was to the neighborhood. And one of the beautiful things that Sesame Street did is if you watch all the Julia episodes, which I have, then you will see this progression of she starts out very shy and quiet and kind of withdrawn, and Elmo and Abby bring her around and remind her of who everyone is, and they help kind of explain to everybody what's going on. And the more that Elmo and Abby kind of step in as her friends, the more Julia feels safe and comfortable and confident, and pretty soon she's singing loudly, "We can all be friends with Big Bird and everybody else." She feels the freedom to be who she is because she had these two partners to walk with her. She wasn't alone in her community, and so she was able to kind of live into who she was to the fullness. So we're going to take a little pause on Julia. I promise we're going to come back to her. And we're going to talk about another somebody who was a little bit different. In in John chapter 5, Jesus is in Jerusalem for a religious festival. And he's passing by this famous pool of water. And it was famous because of its healing properties. The lame and blind and deaf, the disabled, the hurting of all kind would gather around this pool. And when the waters were turned, when the waters started to move, they would all wade in and be healed. And there was this sense that being touched by these waters was like a touch of freedom, a touch of healing. And so as Jesus is passing through, he comes by a man who has been waiting by the pool for 38 years. He's lame. He can't walk. He can't get into the water himself. He needs help. And Jesus, as he always does, cuts right to the core and says to the man, "Do you want to get well?" And the man replies with the heart-wrenching, "Sir, I have no one to help me into the pool." Because, of course, this man isn't considered a valuable member of his society. He's lame. He can't walk. And so he's been passed by for 38 years as people ran impatiently towards the water. He's considered a weaker member of the community, someone to overlook, someone with nothing to add. No one had even seen him. But Jesus always interacts with those on the outside, on the fringes, differently than the rest of us do. And so he wastes not a moment and says to the man, "Pick up your mat and walk." And the man is healed. Just like that. In a moment, everything changes. In a way, Christ seeing him, reaching out to him, helped him get into the healing waters. And as the man walks away, the religious leaders say to him, "Is it the Sabbath? And the law forbids you to carry your mat." But the man, who has just experienced a miracle, replies quite matter-of-factly, "The man who made me well said, 'Pick up your mat and walk.'" This is the man's way of saying, "Excuse me? I have been sitting on my tush for 38 years, and now I can walk. I don't care what day of the week it is." And so the leaders ask the man, "Who is it? Who is it that healed you?" But the man doesn't know his name. And at that point, Jesus has drifted into the crowd. Just one interaction with a stranger, and this man's life is changed forever. Our scripture this morning is a blunt explanation of what's happening in both the story of Julia and the lame man from John chapter 5. In our scripture for this morning, Paul is writing to the church in Corinth that has formed factions. Tell me if this sounds familiar. I can't imagine any of us have ever heard of a church in which one group thinks they know better than another group. No? Never. That's not what church is. But this is what's happened in Corinth. There's these groups. Everybody thinks that they're right and the other group is wrong. And the people who are right think the wrong people should take a step back and let them lead. So Paul writes them this letter. I want to reread a section of our scripture. Just as a reminder, this is 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And if you want to follow along, I'm going to be rereading starting with verse 17. "If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them, as he chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, 'I have no need of you.' Nor again the head to the feet, 'I have no need of you.' On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable." I'm skipping down to verse 24. "But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ. Each of us is part of this community. Each of us brings the unique ways we were created by the Father, and it is the job of each of us to hold each other up. None of us is built in a way that doesn't require help. None of us. For Julia, it is the assistance of Elmo and Abby Kadabi that help her to be understood, that help her to feel safe, that help her to feel a part of the neighborhood. For the man at the healing pool, it is the presence of the divine that remind him he is valued. Church, what would the world look like if we helped each other get into the waters? Before moving to Texas, my husband's job was at a church in Southern California as the technical director. The church's name was called Evergreen. And while he was there, he met a woman named Lacey. Lacey had grown up at the church. Her first Sunday, she arrived in diapers because she was a teeny tiny little baby. But Miss Lacey was developmentally disabled, and she could only say one word, hi. And she offered her hi to every single person that walked through that church with enthusiasm and volume. She might have been a little Armenian. She liked to get loud. In fact, on Sundays during the sermon, you could hear Lacey in the back punctuating each sermon note with a hi, hi, hi. And the church likes to say that depending on the inflection of her voice is whether she agreed with what the pastor was preaching or not. Lacey was a part of the community. When Paul started working there, Lacey was in her mid-30s. So she had spent actual decades at this church. And one day, after my husband had joined the staff, her mom came to the leadership with a request. Lacey had never been baptized, and her mom wanted to get her baptized. She wanted her part of the community in a real, tangible way. She wanted her to get to do the thing that everyone who was a member of the church got to do. But wait a second. Lacey can only say one word. She can only say hi. How on earth is she going to stand in front of the congregation and declare that she believes in Jesus? How is she going to declare the tenets of the faith? How is she going to come and speak to the leadership of the church about who God is? She can't articulate verbally who God is. And the church leadership really wrestled with, should Lacey be baptized when all she can say is hi? They spent 3 months praying and talking about it. Sounds a little bit, just a little bit, like those religious leaders who thought the man who'd been lame for 38 years should wait to stand up and walk until Monday. Will you put up the picture? Ultimately, though, the church decided that Lacey should be baptized. That's the senior, I don't know if you can see it, but the senior pastor is the one pouring the water over her head, and her mom is standing next to her. They helped Lacey into the pool. They helped her get into the waters. And I think the look of joy on her face says it all. Lacey had people at Evergreen that walked with her, not because they pitied her, not because they thought it was the kind or Christian thing to do. They did it because she was part of the community. They did it because Lacey's contribution to the body of Christ is no less valuable or important than the senior pastor's. We forget that. That every person in this congregation, from the littlest little one that we saw sitting on this stage to the oldest, wisest member of the congregation, we are all part of the body of Christ. We all matter. Our voice is valuable. Jesus healed the man at the waters because that man, who had no community to help him into the pool, was part of the body. He was created by a God who loved him completely, unapologetically. Julia's community, Elmo and Abby, walk with her, helping to soothe her nerves, helping her to communicate when she finds herself unable to, not because she's the little puppet that is less than, but because she is part of the neighborhood. She's part of the body. Lacey was baptized because she is part of the church. She's part of God's church. This week, I have been struck by the thought of what does our church look like when we love each other like this? What does our world look like when we love each other like this? I think it is very easy in a family, with your neighbors, in a church community, to come up with a list of reasons why the other people around you are frustrating. Or maybe a little bit of a nitpicker. Or maybe they talk too long when someone asks them a question. I mean, we can all come up with reasons why we get annoyed with each other or frustrated with each other, or why we forget the God who created us. But this week, as I've thought about Julia, as I've thought about this man from John chapter 5, and especially as I've looked at this picture, I am reminded of the joy that bubbles up when we reach out with grace and love and opportunity. When we value each other, not because it's the Christian thing to do, but because each of us has value. Because God created each of us with something to contribute. What kind of transformation can happen if we remember that we are all called to the body of Christ? One body, united by the God who created us. Will you pray with me? Holy Father, you are a God who knows us and loves us and values who we are. We thank you so much for that. And we ask that you would remind us to love and value each other with the same tenacity. We ask that you would help us to help each other, to hold each other up, and to remember that we are all one body. We pray all this in your strong and powerful name.